What is up and welcome to the Red and Bold Show. I am one of your hosts, Mark Adams, 49ers Camelot, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Robertson of 49ers Cutback. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have you here. Anthony, how's it going, my friend?
It's going great. We had the draft, which means we have plenty of things to talk about because the 49ers did what they always do, and they went on what they believe. They are convicted about their board, and they just do what they want. And it's not the norm of what everyone believes. So anytime that you get Mel Kiper a little bit upset with something that you do, it kind of makes you feel happy inside because it's a little bit off the norm. It's off the beaten path. But the 49ers have been successful with this route. And so it was fun to kind of see them go through that route. And they got some really good football players. They got some other ones where you're like, wait, why are you doing this? What's going on? But overall, I thought it was exciting. And now we're to the part where we got a really good idea of what this 49ers roster could be. Could there be a couple of moves here or there? Of course, there always could be. But now we know what this 90-man roster is going to look like.
Yeah, and I even addressed a question in the 49ers Web Zone mailbag today that was kind of along the lines of, hey, you know, do the 49ers not know how to draft anymore, blah, blah, blah. And so I talked about how, look, there's a difference between, I mean, obviously, if Justin Jefferson is there, you take him because he's so elite. Regardless of fit, you take a guy like that. You take a guy like Jerry Rice. He's going to work in any offense. But fit is more important a lot of the time than who the experts have ranked higher. So I don't really care anything about where they were projected. If the 49ers feel like this is our guy, this is a good fit, then I'm fine with that. So if they take Ricky Pearsall 14 picks ahead of where Mel Kiper had him or whoever, then that doesn't really bother me because it's all about the fit, the scheme, and those. I think that's more important than where the player supposedly was needing to be drafted.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing is there was also a run on wide receivers that happened at the beginning of the second round, including Carolina jumping to 32 to take Xavier Legette. So it's not like there's a guarantee if you trade back, you're going to get Ricky Pearsall. And we all know you're not going to get Pearsall at 63. Just the response that we got from CJ Stroud lets you know everything you need to know about probably where the Texans were feeling about Ricky Pearsall. If the Texans are feeling that, more than likely the Washington Commanders are feeling that. Maybe the Miami Dolphins are feeling that. So you got to go ahead and strike when you can. You can't take chances. 49ers have done that in the past, and they've missed out on guys. Very famously, John Lynch mentioned, and he doesn't do this very often, that they were targeting Paulson Adebo, one of the cornerbacks. He went to New Orleans in one of the drafts. He actually mentioned him by name, and that was a miss. And that was because they were playing a little bit of the game, trying to get extra capital that didn't work out. Get your guy. If you're convicted on it, they did. Who cares if it's 20 picks ahead? As long as you got the guy that you wanted to get, that's what's important.
And if the guy's successful, if he's a good player, nobody's going to care where he was drafted. Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft. If they redid the 2022 draft, he would be one of the first players drafted. I believe that. But again, scheme matters. And so maybe he's what he is in Kyle's offense, but wouldn't be if he was, you know, with the Raiders or some other team like that. So I just think, you know, I never focus on where they were projected because nobody's going to care down the road. If they're good, if they're not good, then they're going to be labeled a bust and all that. But that's just my little soapbox. What's up, Josh? Josh is in the chat here with us. So if you are in the chat, then jump in here and say hi. SG Sports Talk channel is in the house. So welcome, y'all. We appreciate you joining us, and be sure to take a minute when we're finished here. Go to both channels, 49ers Camelot, 49ers Cutback, and subscribe if you haven't done that. That would help us out. We would appreciate that. All right, let's jump in. We have some draft picks to talk about. The first one, obviously, was Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver from Florida. What did you think of this pick? Because some people say that they reached Again, I don't really care so much about that. I'm more interested in how he produces, but he's a slot receiver who can play all over the field. He can take ends around. He's a tough guy, football junkie, great work ethic. I loved how when John Lynch got him on the phone, he said, "You're getting a workhorse." I loved that. Great route runner, good speed, excellent short area quickness. He ran an impressive 1.49 10-yard split. Also had the quickest three-cone time among wide receivers at 6.64. So if he's a slot guy, he's going to find open spots, and Brock Purdy is going to find him. We know that. So smart guy, sneaky athletic. He's a good blocker. He can return punts. I think this is an excellent pick for Kyle Shanahan's offense. I mean, the biggest question is going to be how well he gets off the ball when he's faced with press coverage. But I like the pick, and especially, I mean, he could end up returning punts for him.
Yeah, I think he's underrated when it comes to his releases. He's got a plethora of different ways that he can get releases. There's a lot of different release moves, and he does a pretty good job. And I'm expecting him to get even better with that. I expect him to get a little bit stronger as well. We've seen a guy like Brandon Ayuk come into the league, and it wasn't always there, right? Some of the release things, he had to get better at the timing between the release and the route. Also, some of the strength issues. You just get better. You're now that you're a professional, things are a little bit different. Your attitude changes. But I've seen a lot in Ricky Pearsall. I was a huge fan of him because of the strong hands. You see him go up and make the one-handed catch, but you see him make catches in the red zone in traffic. You see him along the sidelines making those sort of catches. The body control combined with the strong hands means he's going to have a catch radius that helps Brock Purdy. He's also not afraid to go over the middle and take contact. He takes big hits and he gets up. And those are things you have to have in a wide receiver within this system. He also shows the ability to be able to run after the catch. Yards after the catch could be big. He didn't have a lot of it at Florida, but the reason he didn't is his quarterbacks weren't very accurate. He struggled to have good quarterback play. And I think if he gets a quarterback that can put it on him in the right spots, he's going to have more potential to do that. So this was a slam dunk pick because of the way he fits Kyle Shanahan's system. People may argue where you take him. Do you take him 31? Do you take him later? But no one can argue the fact he fits and that now within the offense, he's going to be able to do a lot of really good things. And you brought up the blocking, a very willing blocker who's got some physicality. Does he need to improve? Of course. But that's something that's normal with wide receivers coming out of college. They're not expected to block the way that the 49ers often want them to. So this is a guy that's got a complete package that the 49ers can use. And I know early on it's probably going to be a lot of slot and a lot of him playing Z, but there is potential for him to play X. There's potential for him to do more within this offense. I think it was a great selection overall. Good fit.
Do you see him being much of a threat down the field?
Yeah, because he can create separation. He's got really good head movement. He also throws in some jab steps, but he's got enough speed to be able to threaten you vertically. The thing that he does really well is he cuts into cornerbacks' cushions. He gets them to flip their hips early because he runs good comeback routes. So now they're going to want to jump those routes and allow him to go deep. So his change of speed as he's running through zones is important. I think he's going to be a vertical threat. I think he's going to be a guy that when we look back on it, it's like he's a receiver that can handle every route that Kyle Shanahan throws his way, and he can match up really well against different players. And if you can get a matchup of him on a safety, that's a win for the 49ers. So yeah, I'm excited about him being able to be used in Kyle Shanahan's system.
Yeah, I am too. Mr. Joe said this O-line is still trash. We're going to talk about them here in just a few minutes. The next guy they picked was one of your boys, Renardo Green, the cornerback from Florida State. I texted you, I think after the draft, or maybe it was after that round or after that pick. I don't remember. No, I think it was at the end of the draft because they picked two Florida State guys, and I wanted to see what you thought. And you were really high on him. Played outside corner. I've heard that they see him as one that can play outside and inside. I've even heard people suggest that maybe down the road he could play like a free safety, you know, be that center fielder that the 49ers haven't had. Led the ACC with 13 pass breakups last season for the Seminoles. Hasn't missed a game the past two seasons. Some say he was the best press corner in college football. Maybe a little grabby, so that's going to be something that he's going to need to work on. We don't want the Ambry Thomas stuff going on where there's pass interference penalties. But good instincts, good short area quickness, willing to tackle, man. He's feisty. What do you like about him?
Yeah, when it comes to the grabbing, just so everyone knows, Ambry Thomas grabs because he's beat or he feels like he's beat. Renardo Green grabs because he's physical. He's in contact, and he likes to battle these guys and not give a single inch. So there's a little bit difference between the two, but he's a fun player because you brought up the physicality. He's an absolute competitor, and that's why a lot of people see him as a guy, and me included, that can move inside and play nickel. He can step up, and he can stop plays in the run game. And that's been a real question mark for the 49ers for any nickel corner that wasn't named Isaiah Oliver or Diamond or Lenore. And with Oliver, he couldn't cover anyone. So that was a problem. So Lenore's the only one that's been able to translate that way. I think that Renardo Green's going to be very nice for the 49ers. And I think they're going to try to see what he can do at nickel corner. And that could potentially push Diamond or Lenore outside. But when it comes to Renardo, you're right. The versatility to play potentially three positions, outside, inside, and free safety. And that gives you a luxury as a defensive coordinator to be able to disguise and give different looks because you know you can drop him into certain areas and he can handle it. Plus, if you want him in goal-to-go situations, put him in man coverage, he can handle that as well. He's got enough makeup speed to be able to close on receivers, but he's very physical. He gets on guys and he stays on them. He's very sticky. You see his fluid movements, his fluid hips. That makes me believe he's going to be able to stick with these guys pretty good. So, yeah, this was a great pick. I think it was a fun pick, whether you had him ranked in the second round like I did or you had him in the third round. Pick 64, the last pick of the second round. If it was a third round, go ahead and you grab him right now. I think it was a great selection for the 49ers. I don't know if he's a plug-and-play start day one, but when we get halfway through the year, I think there's going to be conversations about him playing inside with Diamond or Lenore playing outside. I think early it'll be Isaac Yedem on the outside with Lenore on the inside.
Okay. So if you have Ward and Lenore as your starters, you think early on Yedem might have the advantage, but by mid-season, maybe Green steps, it becomes that number three corner?
Yeah, I think so, because I think it's just going to take him a little bit of time to acclimate to what they ask him to do. It's a lot when you're playing nickel corner. That's why I was so impressed with what Diamond or Lenore did last year, being able to handle both roles. You have to be able to be a cornerback that can have a two-way go, cover guys to the inside, cover guys to the outside. That's a lot of space. You got to be able to cover them vertical, especially if you're in man coverage. But then you got run responsibilities as well and run fits. And that means you're working with linebackers to be in the right spot at the right time to be able to make plays. You've got to be sometimes the backside support and be there for cutbacks or counter plays. And you've got to be able to fill gaps if the plays come in towards you. So it's a lot there. Plus, when you look at what the 49ers struggled with at the end of the season last year, it was the alley defender being able to make tackles on the outside. That's what Renardo Green would be a lot of the time, is the alley defender. I think he can handle that, but there's a lot of things you have to learn along the way. Once he gets there mentally, and he doesn't have to think anymore, his instincts take over. He's so instinctive. That's when big plays are going to happen. And that's when he's really going to be dynamic on the field.
The third player they took was the Kansas offensive lineman, Dominic Pooney. He's really versatile. He's played games that tackle both tackle spots. He's played guard. He even played some center in the Senior Bowl. He's strong. He's a good pass blocker. I think the 49ers probably, I doubt that they're looking at him as a tackle, most likely a guard. I think that we're probably set with Banks and Feliciano in 2024. What do you think? He's going to be like the swing guard, and maybe in 2025 we'll take over when maybe Feliciano moves on. Banks might be moving on as well. You have Burford, who missed a key block in the Super Bowl. Who knows? I kind of get the sense that they don't feel like he's ready and that he may never be ready. But what did you think about the first offensive lineman the 49ers took?
Well, this was one of my guys. I've been very high on him. In fact, my first mock draft, this is the guy selected at pick 94. So it's right where I believed he was going to be. As soon as I saw his Senior Bowl film and the practices and what he was able to do, I saw a guy that I was a huge fan of. The footwork, the hand technique, the way he anchored against bigger defensive tackles. He was taking on first rounders and he was studding them up and not allowing any movement. Those are things that are different. Then you start looking at his stats, and he didn't give up a sack for 2 years. Not a single stat in high school. I got that from Josh. I appreciate that. There's a lot of really good things when you see him. Consistency is the key, though. He just doesn't make mistakes. He's often competing. He's just playing the right positions. Now, when it comes to what he's going to do for the 49ers, I think with him playing left tackle last year for Kansas, the most realistic options for him to slide into left guard and play behind Aaron Banks. The 49ers have John Feliciano at right guard, which means they probably have their starters, like you brought up, for this season. I think where Pooney comes in is he's going to have the advantage of getting to learn behind and being ready in case something happens. Now, I believe he's good enough that he's going to start pushing people that are ahead of him. Aaron Banks and John Feliciano are going to have to play better to hold him off. He's that good. And I think that his work ethic is there. He's a smart player. He's instinctive. I'm not even sure that he's not going to eventually move to center. We know they've taken a lot of other guys for center as well. And the normal progression is you go tackle to guard to center. It's harder to move in because of the things you have to learn. It's just a little bit different, but it should be interesting. I think he's going to be a solid player this year and a nice rotation piece. And it could mean the end for Ben Bartsch. It could mean the end for Nick Sakel on this roster, especially if they start feeling comfortable with how he looks in practice.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens with Pooney. The next pick they took was Malik Mustafa, the safety out of Wake Forest. We all knew they were going to take a safety. And they may have found a really good one here. Strong tackler, maybe the best in the draft among DBs. He can blitz. He's good in coverage. Held opposing quarterbacks to a 32% completion rate. Really physical, versatile, a leader, a team captain. And that was kind of a theme. The 49ers had a few themes. They went with speed. They went with guys who have played a lot of games and haven't missed a lot because of injuries. And they drafted a bunch of leaders, which I love. This guy's a thumper. He's going to hit you. He has excellent technique, good instinct, reads quarterbacks well. I was asked, one of the questions in the 49ers Web Zone mailbag was, which of these draft picks is most likely to make a bigger impact? I actually went with Green, but I decided that if it's not Green, it's going to be Mustafa because I think that this guy could be a really good find.
Yeah, that was a great pick. And that's what it appeared that they were going through and they were taking care of positions they felt were positions of need. We knew that they were three deep at wide receiver. They had Ricky Pearsall. Now their room is really set. Ray McLeod had moved on. Then Renardo Green, you had a need at nickel corner. They addressed that offensive line with Dominic Pooney. That made a lot of sense as well. And now you get to Malik Mustafa, and they had a need at safety. They were three deep at safety with Taylor Hawkins being the fourth guy, and he's coming off the practice squad. So they had to make sure they address it. And what they got was a player that plays with great physicality, great intensity, and great intelligence. Football IQ through the roof. Now, a lot of people look at his 4.53, and they were questioning if he's actually fast enough. Well, he's also coming off a little bit of a hamstring problem that he ran his pro day, maybe a little bit banged up. This is probably a 4.4 guy. And the reason I say that is because he once ran 23 miles per hour in a game. You don't run that by being a 4.5 guy. You're absolutely moving. But this is a guy that I've termed football fast. When he's on the field and his instincts take over, he's faster than he would look when he was testing. He just knows where he's supposed to be and what he's supposed to do. You talk about an alley defender, a guy that can come up from the safety position and absolutely wallop a running back in that area. He can do that. He's a guy that can play in the box, and he's a guy that can play the deep third. I think this was a knockout pick. This was fantastic. I thought they really did a good job of locating a guy that fit what they needed, and he's going to be a guy that helps on special teams early. And then who knows what happens with Tauno Hufanga, or if Jair Brown lives up to what we all think he can be. But now they've went ahead and positioned themselves that they have a guy that steps in if somebody's not ready early or if an injury happens during the season.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Hufanga, but what about this? What if Dre Greenlaw doesn't come back like they want? Could they go with some three safety looks and have him play in near the line of scrimmage more, maybe like a linebacker would?
Yeah, they definitely could. I mean, they're nothing's off the table. We've seen them do that with Hufanga when his rookie season. They put him in the box and they let him play like a third linebacker. So three safety looks could make sense as long as everyone's able to handle run fits. I think that you don't throw anything off the table because of the way the league is playing. The league is going to a lot more spread. They're putting you in a lot more nickel situations. So you can kind of mess with your personnel to get the best advantages your way. And if you think that that's the best way, a faster guy who can help in coverage compared to who your third linebacker would be, then yeah, you could go that direction. So this was a solid pick in the fact it was where need met best player available. And I think they struck on it. And now the fun part is figuring out what's all the things that Nick Sorensen can possibly come up with for a secondary as far as blitz packages and personnel groupings to make sure this defense is capable and ready to stop any offense they go against.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to see what they come up with. The next pick was Isaac Garendo from Louisville, the running back. Kyle Shanahan joked about taking a running back, and he evidently wasn't joking because they did. Fast guy can fly 4.33 in the 40. He's a one cut and go guy who's perfect for Shanahan's zone scheme. Also can catch the ball. So that's pretty exciting. Averaged 4.1 yards after contact. He's a home run hitter kind of guy that can score from all over. And with the new kickoff rules, he might be a good player to put back there. I think, you know, can he make an impact on the team as a rookie? It kind of depends on what happens with Elijah Mitchell, but certainly I think that he can. He's not going to be a starter, of course, especially this season. But what did you think about this pick? I'm intrigued by it.
I think it was one of the more surprising picks. I mean, even not the player was surprising because they had definite connections to Grindo. We knew that they were interested in him. That's what first put me on the radar to go check him out because of the interest that we heard the 49ers had in him. Whenever you throw the fact that he's 6 foot tall and he runs 4.33, there's only two guys in the last 30 years that have tested like that at the combine. It's Isaac Garendo and it's DK Metcalf. That just shows you the athleticism at that size. He did play wide receiver in high school, and so he's got a lot of versatility to catch the football. My thing with Garendo, the speed is there. If he hits a hole and there's no one there, he's gone. The problem is his second and third level ability to get off or make guys miss is not there. He's pretty much a straight ahead guy. He can't change direction when he's going full speed. So elusiveness is not always going to be one of the categories he's really good at. He does have a one cut and go ability, which we know the 49ers love. The question is he going to bail on those holes before he should? He has a tendency to bounce them out. So there's things that he needs to work on. What's funny is these are some of the same things we talked about with Elijah Mitchell when he got drafted, was the want to bounce out, use your speed to win, and not counting on that hole to come open. Those are things he's going to have to learn with patience and things like that. But I think he'll get better at it. But this was an interesting one because they gave up 2 fifth-round picks to come up. And if you go watch that KNBR interview when Kyle was joking, Greg Papa is actually talking about fourth-round running back, and then he makes a third-round joke. And then John Lynch says, yeah, we'll probably trade our fifth-round picks and select a running back. And then they did. It's like, I don't think they planned that, but it ends up becoming hilarious after the fact. But yeah, Isaac Garendo, the speed, it's going to be fun to see how they use him. You brought up the special teams. I think that is the area he can make an impact in his rookie season, because with the new kickoff rules, I do think running backs make the most sense as kick returners.
Yeah, especially ones that can fly like him. Larry Kruger threw out an idea. I don't know that the 49ers are considering this at all, but Larry loves the idea of putting him at fullback because he believes that he would bring a dimension that not even Kyle Juszczyk can bring. Do you see that any possibility to that? I mean, he's big and strong. So I think Larry had shown some clips where he had de-cleated a guy when he was blocking. So I really don't know what Kyle looks for in a fullback, because the only one that I've seen him with is Kyle Juszczyk. But what did you think about that?
I don't think they drafted him to be a fullback. I think they drafted him to play running back. Could there be looks where you go two running back sets with Garendo because of the size and his ability to catch the ball? Sure. But, you know, I don't think that was the target of what they're thinking. I think they were drafting Garendo because he reminds them of a certain type of running back that they're looking for. And I think they're preparing in case and when Elijah Mitchell leaves in free agency. You got to make some decisions, and that could be one of those. So they see Garendo with that home run threat. None of the 49ers running backs right now are whole shot guys. McCaffrey gets ran down from behind. Elijah Mitchell gets ran down from behind. Jordan Mason does as well. So this is the first time since the 49ers lost Raheem Mostert that they have a guy that can legit take it to the house anytime he touches the football. I think there was an allure of that. I don't think he's a good enough blocker to be fullback personally, but we'll see. I mean, you never say never when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, but I lean towards the other way. I don't think that was the overall direction they were thinking when they used 2 fifth-round picks to trade up. I don't think it was for a fullback.
Yeah. They took another receiver, Jacob Cowing, the receiver from Arizona. Again, we're talking speed here. This guy can fly, clocked at 4.38 in the 40, 13 touchdowns in 2013. He's a small slot receiver. He has excellent hands, terrific in the short and intermediate passing game, but he also can get deep. Seems like a really good fit for Brock Purdy's style of play. Also has experience as a punt returner, caught a pass in 57 straight games, good with the ball in his hands, runs good routes, can create separation, can stretch the field. Did you like this pick, or were you like, eh?
Well, it was interesting because I had almost talked myself out of the 49ers going wide receiver again, and people were asking me in my recap shows, you know, would the 49ers consider going wide receiver? And most was because they were looking at Brendan Rice as a potential guy the 49ers could target. And I said I would never rule it out, but I was definitely leaning the other way because I thought Pearsall was going to solve all the issues and handle the punt return duties. And me and you had talked about them going with a smaller wide receiver if it meant handling punt return duties. So I thought it was done. We had talked about Ananias Smith. We had talked about Malik Washington, but we didn't really talk too much about Jacob Cowing. But Cowing was definitely a 49ers favorite going into the draft. They had done extensive work. He came and met with them. And what you see with Cowing is, though he's very small, he's 5'8", 168 pounds. I mean, this is not a guy that's built like the other wide receivers in the league, but the speed definitely shows. And what it really shows is the short area quickness and him being able to get in and out of his breaks and his routes at the top of his stem. Creating that separation is what you have to do, especially when you don't rely on physicality. A lot of receivers rely on getting their hands on defenders and creating separation that way. He doesn't. So he gives you some position versatility. My questions about Cowing are less about his ability to get open, his ability with the ball in his hands after the catch. I think it goes to the physical nature of what his body type means. How is he going to block for Kyle Shanahan in this system? I think right now he looks like a guy that's more of an obstacle. He gets in the way, then he makes an actual block. So I think that's something they have to figure out, exactly how he's going to be as a blocker. The one thing I will give him credit for, though, he's a willing blocker. He goes in there and he does whatever he can. Mm-hmm. He throws his body in the way. It's just not translating to a good block right now. So that's something I'm interested in. But the dynamics of him in this offense are going to be fun. He's going to be able to do a lot of cool things. He's really good in the screen game. I think he adds an extra element and dynamic that could be a problem when other teams decide to go big nickel. You go big nickel to stop the 49ers in the run game? Well, now your big nickel's got to cover Jacob Cowing sometimes. Oh, you want to go small nickel? Now you got to worry about Jawan Jennings. I think the 49ers are finding matchups that they can now take advantage of, and I like that part of the game.
Yeah, I was really excited about this pick. I think it's a good fit for the 49ers. He may never become a starter, but I liked it. Now, the last two picks were my least favorites, which is normally the case for late round draft picks. Jarrett Kingston, the offensive lineman out of USC, and he's not even a tackle. And tackle's what we were hoping to see the 49ers address, but instead they drafted another guy that looks like he's probably going to be a guard. He's played all over the offensive line, but is likely to be an interior guy with the 49ers. He is athletic, good fit for a zone blocking scheme. But what did you think about Jarrett Kingston?
Yeah, it was interesting. I had actually watched, at the time of they drafted him, I thought I had done no film on him, but I had watched about a minute or two. It wasn't really an extensive look at him at all. And what I saw, you know, was a guy that's hyper-athletic. You see the athleticism for sure. You see a lot of deficiencies when it comes to being able to handle certain guys. And so this is one of those picks that the 49ers make. And this is what I talk about a lot of times when it comes to day three. It's about elite traits. Now you're finding guys with elite traits in day three that can make things happen. Isaac Grendo runs a 4.3. Jacob Cowan runs a 4.3. And now you get to Jarrett Kingston, and he's one of the fastest offensive linemen. He's got one of the best three cone. His short shuttle is really good. And so now you're getting a guy with traits that you're wondering if you can develop into a player that can eventually make your football team. And I think that's what they were doing here. He was the third best offensive lineman as far as testing physically. Thanks, Josh, for that stat as well. So you're talking about a guy that's unique in those abilities. Now, the short arms is going to be an issue. That's what makes him a non-tackle player. He's going to have to move inside. I've heard some saying he's going to potentially be a center. I don't know if that's the case, but I think early on, the 49ers can put him at guard and see if he can develop into somebody. He has the speed. He has the athleticism. He has a little bit of an anchor. It's not as good as a guy like Dominic Puni, but I think that he's got some ability, and this is a flyer pick. If he doesn't work out, maybe you put him on the practice squad. Maybe you cut him. But at that point, the last pick of the sixth round, there's a lot of value there.
On the seventh round, they took Tatum Bethune, the linebacker out of Florida State, another one of your guys, your Seminoles. What do you like about him? He's played in a lot of games. He processes things quickly. He's physical. He always seems to be like, every time that I've seen any clips from him or any little bit of game film, I haven't watched him very much at all, but he always seems to be around the ball. Do you like this pick? Or do you think, yeah, he probably, you know, maybe he can make the team, but more likely than not, he's not going to make the team. Where do you see Bethune?
I think it's going to be hard for him to make the team because of the depth of the position around him. You know, they brought Demetrius Flanagan Fowles back, you know, the D Winners, Jalen Graham. But I think Bethune is an interesting player because of his football IQ and the way that he operates on the field. You brought up him always being around the ball. That's because he's usually in the right position. He understands what he's supposed to do and where he's supposed to be. And he has good recognition and coverage of routes. Also, even though he ran a 4.68, he weirdly can run with receivers and run with running backs out in coverage. So once again, football fast. He's just one of those guys that's able to translate his game to do that. There are some concerns because he's only 6 foot. He's not as big and physical as some of the other linebackers the 49ers normally go for. But where he lacks in those departments, he makes up with instincts, intelligence, and being in the right spots. Another area he could struggle a little bit, and this has just got to keep it real, even though he's one of my Florida State guys, is if he doesn't square up a tackler, sometimes he won't be able to make that tackle. So he's got to get a little bit better at making sure he locks on and makes those tackles. If he squares you up, you're going down. If he doesn't, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. So bigger running backs could give him some problems when it comes to tackling. But overall, I like this pick. I did believe it was going to be him or Kalen DeLoach at the end. I had them literally at the last part of my draft as my big board because just for that reason. I thought it was going to be them or a guy like Trent Jones. 49ers went Jarrett Kingston the round before, so it wasn't going to be Jones. So it's one of those guys, athleticism or Bethune, who's a solid guy. Another thing to remember, John Lynch brought up the fact that when it came to Renardo Green, he went to Derek Brooks, and Derek Brooks signed off on it, his former teammate. Bethune played linebacker there. If there's anyone that you're going to look to go to about linebacker play, that might be a good one to start with. So I'm guessing there's a little bit of intel that went with them trusting Bethune with that pick.
Interesting, kind of like when when a coach goes to watch a quarterback and ends up falling in love with a receiver while he's there as well. So interesting pick. Let's talk a little bit about the undrafted free agents, because the 49ers signed a handful, and I want to see if any of them jump out to you. I want to ask about a few of them specifically. Evan Anderson, the defensive lineman out of Florida Atlantic, the 49ers are signing him to a guaranteed $280,000 contract, which is more money than they usually give. Matt Maiocco suggested that means he's basically assured to be at least on the practice squad. What did you think about Evan Anderson? Because to pay him that much must mean that they see something that they like.
This is a big physical guy. This is a guy that's going to hold up against double teams. You know, he's well over 320 pounds. He's 6 foot tall. He's not very tall. His arms aren't very long. Like, those measurables don't match up. But as far as size, he's definitely got it. He's got a pretty good first step. Now, when I watched him, I don't know if people are going to make this relation, but a few years ago, they had a guy named Darion Daniels, and he played defensive tackle, same sort of thing. I think that's what you're getting here, is a guy like Darion Daniels. I don't know if, you know, he's going to push to make this roster. I think it's going to be a transition for him, because if he doesn't win on his first pass rush move, he doesn't win. He doesn't have a secondary move to go to. Now, when it comes to run defense, I was expecting a dude to see him consistently win, and I felt like it was more flashes that he wins. If he gets in double teams, he can get pushed back. So this is a little bit of a project, but it's always nice to add size, and it's always nice to add a guy that you believe you can develop. And I think that's what Chris Kocurek's hoping. If I can get his hands right and I can get him to get off really quickly and split some double teams, he could be a run stopper for us, a different type of player than we have right now. Because when you look at the back end of the defensive tackle room, Kalia Davis is still a guy predicated on speed. Kevin Givens is still a guy predicated on speed. So getting a guy that's a formidable run stopper, I'm sure, is something they're looking for, and someone that's more like a Hassan Ridgeway type. And I think that's what they're looking for here, but it's a developmental thing. We'll see how quickly he gets involved in this defensive rotation.
Yeah, Josh said Hargrave is better than DJ Jones. I would agree overall, but not against the run. And that is what Mr. Corey said, that the 49ers haven't replaced DJ Jones. And that is the problem. We saw that in the end of the season. Mr. Joe is giving the 49ers a draft grade of D+. It seems a little harsh, Mr. Joe, but definitely thanks for giving us your thoughts there. How about this? Tanner Mordecai, the quarterback from Wisconsin. I've talked about Oklahoma a lot because that's the team that I follow. He was Kyler Murray's backup. Then he was Spencer Rattler's backup. And then he was, I think he was still there with Caleb Williams as well. You and I talked before we went live. I can remember whenever he was in the game for OU, I was like, man, what is this guy in here for? But it wasn't that he was playing bad. It was just that you have Kyler Murray doing what he does. I guess, who am I forgetting? There was somebody else in there. Dang it. The guy that's with the Eagles now. Can't believe I forgot his name. The quarterback of the Eagles.
Jalen Hurts.
So he was there with those guys. Then he was there with Spencer Rattler. And I don't remember if he was with Caleb Williams, but for me, it was more of, hey, I don't want to see this guy because the other guys are pretty dynamic. And so, I don't know if you've thought about this pick very much. Larry Kruger's really high on him. He's athletic. He runs well. I don't remember what he runs, maybe like a 4.4 or something like that.
It's 4.4.
And he Larry believes, and now here's the context of this. In 2022, during the rookie minicamp, Larry Kruger said, I think that Brock Purdy might be the best quarterback on this team. And he continued saying that even when it was Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, Nate Sudfeld, he still was saying, I think Brock Purdy is the best one. Purdy passed Sudfeld. And then, as we know, when the other two were hurt, he became the quarterback. So now Larry is saying the same thing about Mordecai. He's saying that he believes that he's going to outplay Dobbs, outplay the guy from Arkansas and Brandon Allen, and be Brock Purdy's backup. Strong statement, but 2 years ago, he was spot on with the quarterback. So what do you think about that?
I think that would be tough. For one reason, mainly, is Mordecai's going to have to learn this system. And, you know, you got a little bit of a jump with Brandon Allen. He was through the system the entire time. He knows it already. Dobbs was up in Minnesota, so he got an idea of what some of the system looks like. Even though it's not the exact same system, there are principles that are the same. So he's got a little bit of a head start. Plus, the guy's pretty darn smart, so he's going to pick up this system pretty well. I think experience ends up being a weakness for Mordecai being able to be the backup quarterback. Now, I don't want to count him out because you're right. Brock Purdy, you know, stepped up and made plays, but let's not forget, as good as Brock Purdy was, he was still quarterback three coming out of training camp. We haven't seen Tanner Mordecai take a single rep in the NFL in the 49ers system, not even rookie minicamp yet. So yeah. I think this might be a little bit early to say about where he's going to be. And I respect, you know, what was said by Larry Kruger, because you're right. He was right about Brock Purdy, but I think this one's a little bit tougher with Mordecai. Mordecai is a different player than Brock Purdy. He's got the athleticism, the speed, can create outside the pocket, is pretty good in short and middle accuracy. Intermediate range, he's okay. Down the field, that's a real weakness for him. A thing that Brock Purdy really does well at is the vertical passing game. That's not something Mordecai does consistently. He hits a post corner. He does that really well. Him and Ricky Pearsall are probably going to hook up for that in training camp, and everyone's going to get excited because Pearsall is really good at running that route. But I think this is going to be a tough one for Mordecai. Besides the cool name, I think it's going to be tough to crack this 49ers wide or quarterback room because of the two guys that are ahead of them are pretty good and pretty athletic on their own right.
Mr. Corey said, Larry also thought we should sign Chris Jones in free agency, was going to get Bill Belichick as defensive coordinator, and that the Broncos were going to give us Sertan for some second round picks. Yeah, I know Larry, that's one of the things that you love about Larry. He's even though he's a media guy, he's a fan at heart. And so it's fun to listen to him. Cody Schrader is the running back out of Missouri who led the SEC. That's the Southeastern Conference. We're not talking Big 12. We're not talking Pac, whatever it is. We're not talking ACC. Led the SEC in rushing. How did this guy not get drafted? And is there a chance that he could make this team?
I think a lot of teams were probably concerned about his measurables, especially when it comes to his speed. He's not one of the fastest guys. He's running a 4.6. You got Grendo running a 4.3. You've got Schrader running a 4.6.1. Vertical, not explosive. He's not showing that explosiveness. He gets ran down from behind. So you're not seeing a dynamic back. And what are we seeing in today's NFL? We're seeing speed be one of the main catalysts for how teams are drafting and the players that are putting within their offense, because the defense is replicating that speed on the other side. So linebackers and smaller linebackers are able to chase these guys down. I think that is the concern that probably most teams had with him. But when I look at Schrader, I do see a guy that has great vision. He's a one cut and go guy. He plays really good in his frame, 5'8", but he's over 200 pounds. So he's got a lot of physicality to him. He runs tough. He runs hard, gets extra yards. To me, there's something there when it comes to Schrader. I don't know if he'll be able to crack this roster. The 49ers got four really good running backs ahead of him, but I think he is a talented guy that they'd like to keep around, maybe even onto their practice squad, and could eventually help them if needed. So I thought this was a great selection. You see the production, like you said, in the SEC, over 1,600 yards. That's going to impress anyone. I think some of the speed and some of the explosiveness issues are the reason why teams decided to wait and think maybe we could get value as an undrafted free agent. And that's exactly what the 49ers did.
East Coast Red and Gold is on here with us saying, what's up, fellas? Go check them out. They do good things. The other one I wanted to ask you about is Tariq Owens, the wide receiver out of Missouri State, obviously the son of Terrell Owens. I thought it was interesting because John Lynch said that at the 49ers local pro day, when Tariq Owens was there, at one point he was running down the field and he was running right toward Lynch. And Lynch, who played against Terrell Owens multiple times, said that he kind of had a flashback, that he looked like his gait and the way he was running reminded him a lot of his dad. I don't think he's saying that Tariq is going to be anything like his dad as a receiver, because Owens obviously is a Hall of Famer. But what did you think about this signing?
I was actually surprised. I thought that he was going to be an invitee to rookie minicamp, but I didn't think that he was going to actually be signed. But they did. And, you know, you could see a little bit of his dad's running style when he runs. But, you know, when it comes to being a wide receiver, I think he right now is way rawer than his dad was coming out of Tennessee Chattanooga. His dad, though, didn't test as well as Tariq Owens, actually. Tariq Owens is faster, according to the combine scores. He has a better vertical. The guy looks more explosive. Now, of course, we know Terrell Owens got better. He got faster. He got stronger. And then he eclipsed everything that his son is right now. I think Tariq Owens is a very raw guy that's got to get a lot better in a bunch of different categories. And I've seen that he's got some issues that he's going to work on, you know, and maybe we'll see what he does in training camp, but he catches the ball with his body a little bit too much, struggles to get in and out of his breaks consistently, rounds off routes, gets out of his framework, which allows him to lose balance when he's trying to, you know, come on his comeback routes. Those are things he's going to have to get better at. So I think the 49ers see a raw project. I think they're going to work him out, see what he can do throughout OTAs and maybe even into training camp. We'll see. But there are 10 wide receivers ahead of him, and I don't know if I can see him passing any one of those guys because a guy like Tay Martin is way more established within this organization and way more polished than Tariq Owens. So we'll see. I'm rooting for the guy. He goes 100% every rep that he gives. You got to get him credit for that. But he's got a long ways to go.
Yeah. And he was kind of late to the football party. He didn't start playing football, I think, until late in high school, I think. So, or maybe even college. I think it was late in high school, which I think his dad did the same thing. I think that he started kind of late. And it's crazy because his dad, Hall of Famer, but sometimes he had issues dropping the ball as well. But so that's going to be interesting to watch. Any other guys that undrafted free agents that stood out to you?
Yeah, one guy, Drake Nugent, the center from Michigan. I thought that this was a great pickup because he was the center for a 15-0 Michigan team. And probably the reason he wasn't drafted is none of his measurables scream big-time player in the NFL. He's 6'2", he's 300 pounds, so he's undersized. His 40 was 5'2", he's not elite speed-wise. But once again, some of his measurables mean he's going to be really good at reach blocking, and he's going to be really equipped to handle the mental part of the game. So I think at worst, this is a guy that could, you know, go ahead and replace some of the other guys we had on the practice squad. But I think he's going to get consistent reps, and I wonder if he can beat out guys like Ben Bartsch who are trying to move to the position. This is a legit center who played a lot of college football, and I like him. I don't know if I love him, but I like him. And I think that that's one of the guys that I'm going to keep an eye on all throughout training camp, just to see how he develops at the center position as one of the few guys the 49ers have gotten. Because I think Corey Luciano is the only other guy that's not named Jake Brendel that's a legit center that's not transitioning from another position.
Good stuff, Ant. Thanks. Thanks so much for a great show today. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And again, go check out the 49ers Camelot show. Go check out 49ers Cutback. We do things apart from each other, but every Wednesday at 2:00 Pacific time, we are here for the Red and Bold show. So thanks for joining us. And any final words that Mr. Joe said, if Trent Williams gets hurt, who replaces him? Nobody's replacing Trent Williams. I mean, he's irreplaceable, and they have nobody that can do it, which is why we wanted him to draft somebody. But any final thoughts, Ant?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be interesting to see how this offensive line plays out. I think everyone has question marks about what's going to happen at right tackle, what happens at center. And did the 49ers address that outright? No, I don't think they did. But, you know, what we think and what the team thinks are two different things as a fan base. Chris Foerster and them are way higher on this offensive line. And let's see what happens when they return five starters and we get Colt McKivitz in his second season, what happens? It's a wait-and-see approach, and it might be disastrous. We don't know, but it also might work out. more consistently playing together usually leads to better offensive line play, and that's what I'm hoping. And I'm hoping with their draft picks, they got better depth-wise, which was important because let's remember in the Super Bowl, it was Spencer Burford that missed a block because John Feliciano, the starter, was hurt. And young players make mistakes, and I think in that situation, we got a mistake, and I'm hoping they can rectify that during the season. And Chris Forster's got a lot of work to do, but I'm hoping Dominic Puni can help that out.
Sounds great. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have a great rest of your week. We will be back a week from today. So hopefully you can sleep in between now and then because I know you're that excited to check out what we're doing again. See you next week.